The story of the backstory of the so-called Stuxnet computer virus reads like the plot of a high-tech espionage thriller. Last year, somebody, somewhere, possibly a government, possibly several governments, unleashed one of the most sophisticated pieces of malware ever created, specially designed, apparently, to target Iran's uranium enrichment program. In a gripping TikTok in the April issue of Vanity Fair, author Michael Joseph Gross follows the trail of Stuxnet from June 2010, when it was discovered, until the present day. And although much remains unknown, or rather unconfirmed, about the virus, one thing, says Gross, is certain. It marks a turning point, the Hiroshima of cyber warfare, and there's no going back. Michael, welcome to OTM.
Thank you, Brooke.
So, Act One, and let's assume this is a scenario, starts with Sergei Ulasin, who is the antivirus expert in Belarus.
Last June, Sergei was sitting in his office, and he got a report of unusual behavior on a client's computer in Iran. This person's computer just kept booting over and over and over again. He realized that this worm was exploiting a flaw in Windows that had never been seen. It was like a Trojan horse. It used USB keys to go into a computer and drop two things. The first was called a rootkit, which is essentially a way that a worm has of saying, I'm in charge here. Root means you're God, one hacker told me. The other was an injector for a payload of malicious code that would then do something, but Ulasin couldn't tell what.
Okay, so the next scene. Somebody discovers that the worm is invading little gray plastic boxes called programmable logic controllers, or PLCs. This is really scary.
PLCs make everything happen in industrial society. They open and close all the valves that make our sewage system work. They control the factories that make our cookies that we eat for lunch. They control the turning of the traffic lights from red to yellow to green. So if you found a way to make these things go haywire, you'd set civilization on its ear. There was a moment last summer when Western governments all thought that Stuxnet might be a general attack on PLCs. And it took them a while to figure out that, in fact, Stuxnet was just going for a particular kind of PLC.
And now let's cut to crazed genius Ralph Langer. He makes the Israel connection, right?
That's right. Ralph Langer is an industrial controls systems security specialist in Hamburg. He's a pilot. He is a dandy. He loves his ostrich shoes and his Dolce & Gabbana suits. Langer, as soon as he heard about Stuxnet, started reverse engineering the virus. At the same time, though, he was drawn to speculation about who made it. He focused in on two words that were in lines of the code. One was myrtus, the other guava. These are botanical terms, one of which Ralph tied via some ingenious Googling to the Book of Esther, which is a book about a Persian plot to destroy Israel, which is then foiled by the Jews. And he started Googling again. He found out that Bushehr nuclear reactor was having some technical difficulties.
Bushehr nuclear reactor in Iran.
That's right. And he put two and two together and he got five.
So now let's cut to the polar opposite kind of character from Langer, a guy named Frank Rieger. He's the one who put two and two together and got four.
That's right. A few hundred miles away in Berlin, Frank Rieger, the spokesman for the Chaos Computer Club, was also looking really closely at this. Rieger walked into the room when I first met him wearing a dark jumpsuit that was caked with ice because he had ridden his great big tricycle into work that morning and it was snowing. So Rieger, at the same time Langer was pushing his Bushehr theory, said no, in fact, Stuxnet was going after Natanz uranium enrichment facility, which is really at the core of their weapons development program.
So what did you learn that hadn't been reported before about Stuxnet after you did this pretty detailed investigation.
I think the main thing is that the story we've been telling about how Stuxnet came into the world has Israel as the main character and the United States as best supporting actor. In fact, there's more evidence to suggest it may have been the other way around. Stuxnet is not only the boldest piece of malware yet publicly known, it is also, in some ways, the most cautious. For instance, Stuxnet can spread via USB key, but for each USB key that Stuxnet infects, it can only hop to 3 machines. Now, that's enough to create a moderate chain reaction, but not a full-blown epidemic. That is a level of caution that is much more suggestive of a diplomatically minded power than not.
Has any government agency weighed in on Stuxnet?
I got a no comment from the CIA. I got odd elliptical answers that meant nothing from both U.S. Cyber Command and the NSA. And then one day in my email showed up a note from the Idaho National Laboratory. Now, INL and Siemens, the German company that made the controllers that Stuxnet was after, collaborated on a study of the vulnerabilities of those controllers a couple years ago. Some have pointed to that as possible evidence that the U.S. then used the results of that study to create Stuxnet. INL took it upon themselves to send me a statement that denied categorically any involvement in the creation of Stuxnet.
How well did Stuxnet work? Do we know?
By putting together the information we have from the International Atomic Energy Association and other sources, some physicists have been able to show with near certainty that about 1,000 of the 9,000 or so centrifuges at Natanz were
taken offline at some point.
That's right.
But also returned to line after a while.
That's right. I mean, the truth is that if Stuxnet set them back by some measure, they have certainly recovered and they are moving on. So we need to do a cost-benefit analysis of this. Was it really worth it to set them back just a little bit for just a little while if we were at the same time changing the nature of war forever?
Stuxnet is the Hiroshima of cyber war, you wrote. That is its true significance, and all the speculation about its target and its source should not blind us to that larger reality. We have crossed a threshold, and there is no turning back.
The essence of cyber war is that you can never know for sure who shot the gun. You can never know for sure who dropped the bomb. There's no way to look up in the sky and see the marks on the bottom of the plane. There's no way ever to be sure who to blame. We have no international treaties governing the use of cyber weapons. The Chinese and the Russians have both articulated explicitly their policies on what cyber warfare will look like, but the United States has yet to do that. So we're still in kind of a Wild West situation here. And whoever let Stuxnet loose into the wild before the terms of this conversation have been defined has done something really quite reckless.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rook.
Michael Joseph Gross is an author and journalist whose article, A Declaration of Cyber War, appears in the April issue of Vanity Fair.